to play down at Combe was a hard game.
I've watched county rugby down there.
They love their county rugby. They still love their county rugby. It's a different format now. It's gone are the days when you had the calibre of player playing in the county, unfortunately, because of the professional game. But in those days, Cornwall were the Cornwall, Devon, Somerset and Gloucestershire was that. And we had some hard games in Cornwall. It was hard county champions. There was only one time when I was playing, we did get to the semi-final. That was against Lancashire in Bristol.
That was your last county game, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yes. Well, your last season.
Yeah, it was my last season,
I was only talking to Malcolm about that game, actually. How you completely outplayed them up front.
And
Tom Brophy did for you.
Yes.
Had a brilliant game.
And I thought, well, my luck had come at last because I'd been ill. And over the many years I worked in the bank, I was very rarely off. But that particular week, the week before, I was home. There was a tap on the door on a Tuesday night. And Esme and my wife, or I went downstairs, and it was Gary White. Because he lived at Churchtown, we were living at Churchtown at the time. He said, oh, you've been selected for the county on Saturday. So I thought, well, I can't be off sick and then make the county. So I had to force myself to go into work on the Wednesday and play against Lancashire on the Saturday.
Mm.
And we did have a good game, but we lost it. Dave Watt was playing for us and Bev Dovey. They had a very strong side, didn't they, Lancashire, in those days?
So did you, though. What a pack. I mean, John Thorne, Bev Dovey, David Neat, David Watt, Peter Ford, Dave Rollett, and Dick Smith.
Well, there we are, yeah.
Terrific pack.
I think I was about the only one in the pack at one time who was an England cap, because they'd all had trials. In the front row, definitely, because Dovey played for England.
Well, they'd all had trials.
And John Thorne played for England, and I was there, and the David Watt played. We had a strong side. I can't quite remember it, but I think it was fairly close.
It was fairly close until right at the end.
Was it?
When they ran away with it at the end. It was
19-9
in the end.
Was it?
But there were two late tries.
Yeah.
I was there. I remember it well, because I was convinced Gloucester were going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, the pack was so dominant, you know.
Yeah.
And, one of those matches.
Yeah, it's one of those matches, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you've got, but mm-hmm. I'm only guessing, even Lancashire went on probably and played Warwickshire in the next game, and Warwickshire beat them that year, probably.
I think that's right in 64.
They were very strong.
So, yes, not sure, but I think it was, yeah.
But haven't things changed now? Poor old Coventry are struggling to stay in existence, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a lot of front row forwards, Alan, tell the rest of us that we don't have a clue what goes on in the front row, and I think there's some truth in that. So tell us what did go on in the front row. What would your tips be as well for the secret of playing well at prop?
I can always remember when I was told by Tom Price, I think it was, probably going hard the first two or three scrums to make them realise they're up again, even if you exert yourself above your capabilities, just to make them prove them that you were hard against them, and you always had a battle then to hold up and push through in that, and it was always you literally had to prove that you were stronger, and it's so difficult now. When I watch the front row now, this touch, engage, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's for health and safety reasons and that, but in the old days, well, you really had a battle and you knew at the end of the game whether you'd won or not. And it was very rare that you collapsed, but it has changed so much. But we did get a great deal of enjoyment out of it in the olden days, but it's completely different as regards the laws and...
Yeah.
I don't really understand them, to be quite honest now. I watch them, but I mean, see, last week when Gloucester played, I couldn't quite understand why we were getting all the penalties. The front row seemed to be going all right, and then it collapses. And it must be hellish difficult for a referee to know who it is that causes the collapse.
Yeah.
In my opinion, sometimes it can be just gamesmanship, collapsing on purpose to get the... But I fully appreciate nowadays with the health and safety, you've got to be so careful that people don't, youngsters don't get damaged in that. And as you said earlier on, John, they're so much bigger now.
Mm. Well, and with the TV coverage and sightings and so on, it's not as violent a game as it used to be in the sense of foul violence.
No. I looking back, I can never remember seeing headbutting. Mm. When I came back to Gloucester in 82, after being away many years, and I went to a game down at King's Home, and there was blatant headbutting. And you never had that sort of thing. You had probably a clean punch, but it was man for man virtually. Occasionally, it wasn't like that. Mine, I can remember we went down to Aberavon, and they had two brothers in the Aberavon front row, Bamsey brothers, and I went in hard. Everything, and I was being tied apart with bounding thing. And about the second scrum, about three fists hit me. I thought, bloody hell. Well, they were trying to teach me a lesson. And so I just got down and I propped in orthodox way, not yet. But that was the way you were either, or even in Gloucester, when there was trouble, the front row used to ease up a bit, and Baggy Husband from the second row used to come through with his fist, and he used to correct it then. So it was both sides. Mm. And I gouged in. I just curled up when I.
Yeah.
I can't really relate that it happens, but it does happen. And but no, we didn't. It was hard, but it wasn't quite dirty like that. Not headbutting and eye gouging and all that.
Yeah.
Talking about hard players, and you've just mentioned Baggy Hudson. Everything I read about him, he's described as fiery, but you always feel that's a little bit of a sort of understatement.
Yeah, he was a good hard forward when you were in a tight corner, Baggy. Mm. And he had a long career at Gloucester. He came from Stroud, was in the United for some years, and then he established himself. And then he got a trial for England in the second row.
Mm-hmm.
I forget it. I think it wouldn't have been Jim Jarrett, but he had a trial. Yeah, he did very well all back. He was a nice chap. I can remember when we were playing Leicester at Gloucester, and Baggy was a bit of an artist, and we had an evening reception for them at the Royal William, and Baggy had done pen pictures of all the players, you know, the caricatures of us all round the wall in the dance. I've still got mine somewhere. I'm almost certain I spoke to Ron Pitt, and he said he still got his somewhere. It was that good. But that was one of the baggy things.
Yeah.
And he was a nice chap. His brother-in-law also played for Gloucester, a chap called John Herbert, prop forward, another very good prop forward. He played for Gloucester a fair bit, but he could play many times for the county. But it's just the way it went. If you were in the right place at the right time, and it used to be three C's in the old days: club, county and country. If your club was going well and then the county was going well, you had a chance.
Yeah.
Or a better chance. And then they selected the England team from the counties, and that's the way it went.
Now, how about end of season tours, Alan? You enjoyed those?
I always enjoyed the tours. We The main tours, usually Cornwall. Occasionally you went to the north of England. I think it was the first time I ever noticed when policemen went round in pairs with truncheons in Liverpool. Not that we caused the trouble, but they did it. No, but we normally used to go to Cornwall. And I can remember the season I was captain, we went down to Cornwall, and the committee said, oh, well, we can only afford to take 18 players or whatever it was, and there were others that were on the verge and would have liked to have gone. So I had a bit of a players meeting and said, well, look, if we pay the way to the players, would you all chip in to pay for the extra people to go on tour if they want to go on tour? And they all agreed to it, and in the end it all worked out all right, because there was the set number was the club we were going to finance, so we went on tour. So that worked out all right. We went always used to go down. Usually we used to play Penzance or Redruth, and then play somebody on the way back, usually Taunton, Exeter, Bridgewater.
Teignmouth, I think, sometimes. Pardon? Teignmouth, didn't you?
We did stay at Teignmouth. Yeah, we had a bit of trouble at Teignmouth. poor old Harry Hook, the manager, he'd been very courteous to us all, and we all enjoyed it. There was no need for it, actually, because he just had the bar modernised and that. Anyway, on this particular occasion, they decided they'd had enough to drink. I think it was smooth and that, but then there was the sea was through a tunnel down by the hotel, so they all decided they want to go for a swim, or the majority of them decided they went, so they go down, have a swim, come back, and then they decide they want some more drink. Oh, bloody hell, they'd had enough. So what do they do? They prowled up the end of the bar and help themselves to beer. It was all sorted out, but I think it took a long time for... I think it was Tom Voice that sorted it out in the end. He had to go and see Harry Hook or whoever and sorted it out, and everything was smoothed over. But those are the things that did happen, which shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And but they were always good. They were good tours. Looking back, you had a hell of a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
And
who were the entertainers in the team?
Well, Roy Foote was a bit of he was a good chap. They always used to have their bits of songs and stuff like that. Roy used to sing the old the Thrashing Machine, and that was well received. And somebody else had their song, and but we never did anything really bad. It was just.
So, what was your party piece then, Alan?
Well, I can sing the old Thrashing Machine. I used to sing that occasionally. That was my party piece. It was one and only. I can remember writing the words. I picked it up on a Cornish tour. It was on the back of an old Martin's check. And the Thrashing Machine. I wrote the words down and I sang it for the rest of my life. It was all right. Because there was nothing worse. So whenever you paid a Welsh slave, they were always beautiful singers, and they'd take you from the club to a pub, like in Gloucester, you go down the Bristol Road somewhere, and they'd sing one by one beautiful songs. When they came to Gloucester, none of us were really adopted to it, but so you had to, when they pointed you out, it was better to say something even if it was really hopeless, and you sung your own, then they missed you the next time. But that was one thing the Welsh were outstanding at. They really... really made enjoyable times of it with their singing.
And then you went on from Gloucester to Bournemouth, did you?
Yeah, so I retired at Gloucester when, as I say, Mickey Booth gave me a try in sympathy. He sort of gave me a try and they chaired me off when I was 31. And then the next year I came down and captained the United for a short while, but then I got posted to Bournemouth.
So you had one season as captain of the United?
Yes, one season, yeah. And then I went down to Bournemouth and came out of retirement again. And that was in 64 I went to Bournemouth, or 65.
Because Junior Paramore is down there now,
yes,
isn't he?
Well, he's just finished, actually.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, but then I was there and I was captain down there in about 1968, I think it would have been. And they made me very welcome. That was the beauty of rugby. Wherever you went, you could join a rugby club. It was hard on your wives and your girlfriends, but and you were in your second home, sort of thing. That was it. And that happened to me at Bournemouth, and I was captain in 68. And I still have connections with them now. And then I got moved from Bournemouth to Bath. And there again, it started again. I went down, I was about 38 then, went down to Bath, and I was there for 2 years. And then they asked me to be captain of the Bath United. I've got a programme, and I was showing it to Mickey Booth the other day. When I was looking at these other things, I didn't realise, but Mickey Booth was captain of the United, and I was captain of Bath United. That was about 7 years after I'd finished with Gloucester. But I couldn't understand that Boothie had a hell of a strong side in his United. I think they beat us, but must have beaten us easily.
Well, that's December 1969.
Yeah, and I left Gloucester in 64. So it was 5 years later.
There's some fine names in that Gloucester United side.
It is, yeah. I said to him the other day, I said, how is it they all played in that game? Because Burton was just getting up to his England cap, wasn't he, that 69, because he didn't get his cap to 72, so he was going, and Burton was virtually the tight head prop after me. When I retired, Mike Burton came into the club as a prop forward from Longlevens. But
so you were playing in the second row in that game?
Was I that day?
Yeah. Look at that Gloucester United side.
The Gloucester United pack. I mean, the front row is Fowke, Reid and Burton.
But look at the back row.
Pegler, Jackson in the second row, and then Haynes, Watkins and White in the back row.
Oh, how many caps have those three in the back row got between them?
So
Peter Butler playing at centre.
We must have got really thrashed that night.
Etheridge at fullback. Well, they've put out weaker teams than that. Against Bristol.
Yeah, I know. And they were just, these people like Burton were just coming up to their bloody prime, so they were going so why on earth maybe midweek and they wanted to run out.
That's an incredible team.
Yeah, but I didn't realise that Berto was captain. And that was one game in 61 when we had more Gloucester players than Bristol, because it was usually picked out of Gloucester and Bristol, the county side. And that was one time when we had 8 and they had 7.
And you beat Devon 16-3.
We had a strong county side in those days, a good bunch of administrators and